Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Well, today we are going to be in the book of Isaiah. And we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40. So if you will, join with me at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Pray with me. Lord God, today as we come before you, we ask that you would speak to us. We ask that you would challenge us. We ask that you would encourage us. We ask that you would meet us as individuals and as a church right where we are, and that you would speak truth to our hearts, and you would speak truth to our minds, and that you would transform us. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. You ever feel like giving up? Some of you have. Some of you are on that verge right now. Whatever you're going through, maybe you're going through something, it's a family situation. And you're saying, I am just ready to give up on that. Maybe it's a health issue that you've been struggling with for some time. Or maybe a health issue you've just found out about. Maybe you or a loved one and you're saying, I'm just ready to give up. Maybe it's a work struggle or some other struggle, a relational struggle that you're dealing with, and you're saying, I am just ready to quit. This has been going on and on and on. Maybe you're doing a preemptive giving up. You're looking ahead to how hard it might be and saying, it's not worth it. Have you ever felt like giving up? If you've never felt like giving up, probably the time will come when you do. And if you felt like giving up, you know how hopeless that feels. You know how it seems like every one of your plans falls short. You know how it feels whenever you lay awake in bed at night and you're staring at the ceiling, just saying, God, what am I going to do in the middle of all of this? Giving up is no fun. Being faced with that feeling of giving up and just walking away from a situation or from a problem or from a goal or from a dream, all those things, that's painful. That hurts. There's a sense of loss. There's a sense of rejection. There's a sense of confusion that goes on with that. We find in Isaiah chapter 40 that Isaiah is addressing Israel. And he is talking to them about the coming Babylonian captivity. Because of their sin, God is going to allow the enemy, Babylon, to come in and take them captive. And so he has prophesied about that reality that is going to come. But then he says, he kind of shifts the focus and he speaks to Israel and he speaks to them about what they're sensing right now. How they're looking ahead to this captivity that is coming and how they're saying, what's the point? What's the use? Doesn't God care? Doesn't God notice? And this is what I want us to focus on today in the midst of this, because we've been working through this series called Shift. And we've been talking about how little shifts and sometimes major shifts in our thinking, changes in the way that we think, changes in the way that we live, changes in the way of our attitude, changes in our heart, changes in our mind, how all of these things can create a greater result than we could ever anticipate. And today I want us to make that shift in the midst of wanting to give up and shifting toward wanting to give up toward endurance. And I want us to look at some of the things about endurance and how we can endure in the middle of a difficult situation, because here's the reality. God has not forgotten you. No matter where you are, God has not forgotten you. God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what He's doing. God knows exactly what He plans to accomplish. God has not forgotten you. No matter how it feels, God's not forgotten you. No matter how it looks, God has not forgotten you. So let's look at what Isaiah says. Starting with the verse we just started with in chapter 40, we find this. First of all, God is limitless. God is limitless. Look back in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. You see what they're saying? Clearly, God's not seeing what's going on. Clearly, if this Babylonian captivity is coming, clearly, God has, His promises aren't good. He's not making good on His promises. Clearly, He's not seeing what's happening. Clearly, God has just ignored me. He's disregarded me. And He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Notice that Isaiah addresses a few things. First of all, he says that God's eternal. Secondly, he says that God is the creator. And then he says, because of those facts, we can trust that God doesn't faint. God doesn't grow weary. God never grows tired. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that's never exhausted? Not only is He never exhausted, He's never exhausted by us. He's never exhausted by situations. He's never exhausted by everything that He sees go on. God doesn't faint. God does not grow weary. We do, we're going to find out in the next passage. But God never grows weary. He's the everlasting God. He's the creator of all things. You find in Psalm 147, verse 5, the psalmist writes, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. He's the great God that we serve. He's a God without limits. He's a God that does not know what it means to be wearied in that sense. He doesn't. Not at all. Sometimes people say, that's why God rested on the seventh day, because He was so tired of creation. No, that word rest means that He ceased from His work. He didn't rest on the seventh day because He was tired. He rested because He said, we're done. I can rest. Not I can relax, I can sit back, I can take a breath because I'm so tired. That's not what it says. It's that He stopped His work because He was finished with His creative work. God does not grow weary. How would it be different in your life if you lived that way? That God is not a God that gets tired. God is not a God who grows weary. God is not an exhausted God. Sometimes I hear people pray, and I know what we mean by it, and I've done it before. We go to God and we say something like this, Lord, I know you're probably tired of hearing from me. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. God loves to hear His children. Oh, well, Lord, I'd pray about that, but I just hate to bother Him with it. You hate to bother Him with it? What does that even mean? He's God. He told us to bring these things to Him. God does not grow weary. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow tired of hearing from His children. God's not forgotten you. You can go and you can speak to the Lord God, creator of the universe. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. And then we find in verse 27 of Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah quotes God. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing at all. I had a student one time, whenever I was in school and I was teaching and I was a teacher, I had a student during Bible class one day made this statement. It's a classic question that philosophers like to kick around. And he looked at me and he said, I have a question. It wasn't original to him. He had read it somewhere. He said, God can do anything, right? I said, well, God can do anything within His character, yes. He said, well, then can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? He looked real smug about that. And I remember what one of my friends said with regard to that. He said, when people ask that question, it's an utterly ridiculous question. It truly is. When some people are like, well, no, what's the answer? Here's the answer. Can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? What does big have anything to do with an everlasting, eternal, infinite God? You're asking, what's big to an infinite God? Nothing. As my friend says, it's like asking the question, can God make a chair so blue that you can't smell it? It makes no sense. Because in the context of an infinite God, what's big to an infinite God? So I told him, I talked to him and I said, there's nothing, what's big to an infinite God? I said, there's your answer. And he said, well, but wait, you said God can do anything within his character. Does that mean God is limited? I said, yes. And some of the believers in the class, some of the, oh, God's not limited. I said, yeah, God is limited. There are certain things that limit God. Sin. God can't sin. Okay? God cannot do anything opposed to his character. And they're like, well, that makes God imperfect. Because if God, perfect means you can do anything. I said, no. Perfect means that you only do the perfect things. Sin is a sign of imperfection. Sin is a sign of a fault, of a failure, of a lack. That's what sin is. You don't add sin to something and say, wow, now we've added sin, so that increases the perfection. It increases the imperfection. God is absolutely perfect. He's perfect in his strength. He's perfect in his knowledge. He's perfect in all of his power. He's perfect in everything that he does. He is limitless. He can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. And I know what some of us say. Yeah, but you don't know about my situation. Yes, God knows about your situation. God says there's nothing too difficult for him. If we had the time, and if we could go around, if we had the freedom and the time, we could go around this room, and many of the people sitting in this room could share moments where they looked at something and it seemed impossible, and God stepped in. God showed up. God moved, and things were not the same from one moment to the next because God did something. We all have testimonies of that. If we've been following Christ very long, you know that. You've seen that. I'm reminded that the death and burial of Jesus looked hopeless too. And then on the third day, Jesus arose from the grave. That looked completely and totally hopeless. God had other plans. God is limitless. So in the midst of you wondering, God, do you know where I am? God, do you care? God, do you see? God, have you forgotten me? Understand that the everlasting God sees exactly where you are. He has not forgotten you. I don't care how it feels. He's not put you on a shelf to forget you. God is never going to be going about his day and say, there's something. What was it? Oh, that child of mine. Oh, I knew I meant to do something about that situation in his or her life. He's never going to say that. Never. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what he's doing. Which brings us to our next point. God is limitless. We are limited. Look with me in verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. God is limitless. We are limited. We don't have the innate ability, the internal ability that God himself has by ourselves. We don't. And notice he says, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Some of you know this. You have kids. You have grandkids. You know how it is. And you're like, wow, what is going on with this child? They have this boundless energy that goes on. Researchers have said recently, sugar does not increase hyperactivity in children. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. You see this boundless energy that they have. But God's word says even that innate energy that we have will fail in the midst of spiritual trials. It will only take you so far. It will only take you so far, and you just don't have enough to make it because we're limited. Even the youths will grow weary. Even they will faint. I guess I was probably in fifth grade. I remember at our elementary school, the PE teacher said one day, announced to all of us, we are going to have, over the next 3 weeks, our version of the Olympics. And immediately I panicked because I had not trained for the Olympics. And so they made all the kids compete in the same events, which is cruel. But anyway, but the day came, it was time for the high jump. And so, any of you remember this? The high jump, right? You did the high jump? Okay, none of you, no. Okay, we had the high jump. And I was over in Lauderdale County, and I remember we didn't have one of those cushy, nice pads to land on. Somebody had brought in some bales of hay and broke it up for you to land in. Now, I don't know about you, but when it's late April down here, and you're running around playing out on the playground, and you're going to have the Olympics, the very first thing in your mind is, I would like to jump in a pile of dry, dusty hay and then have to wear that stuff the rest of the day. Somebody wasn't thinking. But anyway, besides the point, so we started running and we were doing the high jumping. We were jumping. Nobody had trained us. Nobody had told us how to jump the high jump bar. And on top of that, I found out that the high jump bar wasn't like lightweight wood or anything like that, or fiberglass. No, it was made of steel. It was a triangular piece of steel they had laying over there. And so we're jumping. I know some of you are like, what kind of school did you go to? Penitentiary school? Where are you? Anyway, so we were running and we were jumping the bar. And I remember I was doing pretty well. And then there toward the end, there were about maybe eight of us left, and all the kids who had kind of, you know, they couldn't jump or they failed, they all kind of lined the way. And so we were jumping, and I had had some difficulty on the jump before. Like I'd barely made it over. And I just knew, there's just no way. I just can't do it. So instead of just saying, nah, I can't do it, or instead of even trying, I broke, and when it was my turn, they said go. I realized there's no way that I can do this. I'm hot and I'm sweaty. I'm tired. I just give up. So I ran toward the high jump bar. And it was about chest high, I remember, and I ran toward it. And when I got to it, I just ran straight into it with my arms out and fell face down into the hay and just lay there in my shame. I heard one of my classmates say, "Is he dead?" And I just lay there. And I got up. I had hay stuck all to me. I didn't say a word. I just walked over to the side and just plopped down, you know. And then they gave me that nickname, like the one who would not try, right? Which was far better than the nickname before that the girls had given me, which was Run, It's Him. But I'm good now. I'm good. But I just gave up. The bar seemed too high, so I didn't even try. Even youths will faint. Even they will grow weary. Even they will stumble. Even they will fall. There are moments where your physical strength, that's where you're going to reach. You're going to reach that point where you may make it for a certain amount of time, but you're going to get to a point that doesn't matter how youthful you are, doesn't matter how much energy you have, doesn't matter how much coffee you consume, doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter how wise you are, doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank account, none of that matters. You're going to reach a point where the bar is so high that you just flop over in the hay and you just say, I give up. Because we are limited. But our God is limitless. But if we are depending upon anything other than God, we will end up face down in the hay. It will happen because we're limited. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's talking about people who trust in their own strength, who put their trust in another human or put their trust in their own abilities and wisdom and strength and power, and they fail. Cursed, he says, are they. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it over the bar. You're not going to be able to succeed. And it's not about success. It's about bringing glory to God and depending upon him. And we are limited, and our limits should show us that we need to depend upon Christ and Christ alone. But so often it doesn't. So often what we do is we're going to figure out a way. We'll manipulate a way. We'll just try a whole lot harder because we act as though it depends upon us. It doesn't. You find the same thing mentioned in Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You don't. Some in warfare, he says, they're going to trust in horses. Some are going to trust in the number of chariots they have. We trust in God. God is the one who fights our battles because we are limited. The best of human efforts will fail in the greatest of spiritual needs. Whatever your spiritual need is, your human efforts are going to fail. There are things you can't figure out. There are things you have no control over. There are things that you can't throw money at. There are things that you can't just give a command and everybody's going to straighten up. There are things that you have absolutely zero control over. And that's actually the majority of things. We are limited. Have you been depending upon your own abilities? Maybe that's one of the reasons that you're wrestling with giving up. Maybe because you've been depending upon yourself and you've reached the point, the bar is too high, and now you're saying, I just give up. Well, you don't have to give up because God is limitless. We are limited, but praise God, what does he do? God expands our limits. Look at verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God expands our limits. God is limitless. We are limited. And then God, when we trust in him and we wait on him, he expands our limits. It comes from God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul writes, he's praying. He says, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. He's praying that God himself, by the riches of his glory, by all of the resources that God has, which are unlimited, that God takes his strength and by his spirit empowers these believers to live for him, and that he strengthens us in our inner man. He gives us a spiritual second wind. We find that energy that comes from him, even in the midst when our physical bodies just say, I can't go on. When our minds are saying, I just can't bear this anymore. When our hearts are just broken and we're saying, I just don't know how much more of this I can take. God pours new energy into us so that spiritually we can endure. Just as the people here that he's prophesying to, that Isaiah is speaking to, will need that endurance that comes from God to endure this coming captivity by their enemy. So too, we need that endurance from God in the middle of our struggle, in the middle of our suffering, in the middle of our difficulty. When the bar seems way too high, we must depend upon God to expand our limits so that we can have that power that we need. Our limitless God gives his power to his limited people. And this is exactly what we find here. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25, we find this. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We're not a people who are really good at waiting oftentimes. We have everything with push-button convenience now. And we know this. I mean, we have microwaves, we have drive-thrus, we have on-demand television watching. We have all sorts of things. Anything we want, we can have it right now. And we're impatient. You know how it goes. Someone sends you a text. You don't respond for 30 seconds. They send you another text. Did you get my text? You don't respond for another 30 seconds. Then they call you. Hey, I just sent you a text. Okay. Well, I mean, it's only been a minute, you know? Just give me an opportunity, you know? And we just get very, very impatient. And we want it now. We want it now. We want it now. We have to wait upon the Lord. And in that waiting, God builds our faith. In that waiting, we realize our resources dwindle. In that waiting, we realize we don't have what we need in and of ourselves, that we need to depend upon a power that is greater than us. And God says, if we just wait on me, just wait, be still and wait. Trust in my power. Trust in my wisdom. Trust in what I'm going to do. Depend upon me and me alone, and you will see me work. Some of us just don't want to wait. Some of us want it yesterday. Some of us want God to have worked or work right now when I want it. Because I'm uncomfortable, God, and I need you to work now. And God says, wait on me. Wait on me and you'll see my strength. And I know some of you are saying, I know, because I've been there. I've sat where you sit. I've been in situations where I've heard pastors say these things. And I've thought, oh, but how long am I going to have to wait? How long am I going to have to wait in this situation? How long before there's resolution? How long before God shows up and does something? I don't know. That's God's business. But God is good to those who wait for him. Wait on it. Notice what he says. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You wait on him. He'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. A few years ago when I was living up in East Tennessee, I remember there was a Saturday. I went down and I got out in a trout stream. It was a big, wide river. And I waded out in the middle of that thing and I was north of Sweetwater, Tennessee, and I remember I was out there and I was fishing. And I remember I just happened to push my hat back and I was wiping sweat off my forehead, and as I looked up, there was an eagle. There was a bald eagle. And it was circling way up high. And I remember I took my hat off and I just kind of stood there and I just watched it for a long time. And the interesting thing I noticed is that it wasn't flapping its wings. It was riding a thermal current, some hot air where the ground had been heated over on a big area of rock, and the heat was rising up, and that eagle was just up high riding that hot thermal of air that was rising, and it was just soaring, and it was just kind of circling up there, just not flapping its wings, just canting its wings, and it would rise, and it would dive down, and it would rise up again, never flapping its wings. It was just riding on that thermal that was keeping it aloft. That's it. That's the idea. When we wait upon God, we mount up on wings like eagles. We don't have to exert a whole lot of effort. We don't have to exert power. All we have to do is just ride God's thermal. We will mount up on wings like eagles. Wouldn't that be great? Because some of us have been flapping around, trying to get off the ground ourselves, and God is saying, just wait on me. Wait on me. Wait on me, the limitless God. In the midst of your limits, you wait on me. I haven't forgotten you. You wait on me, and you're gonna mount up with wings like eagles. You're going to soar. You're going to ride this thermal, and it won't be your energy that keeps you aloft. It'll be me. Over in Galatians, we find this one verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul writes, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Some of you are there. Some of you want to give up. Some of you think God has forgotten you, and you say, might as well give up. That phrase, do not give up there, is a phrase that means to unstring a bow. If any of you are bow hunters, you know If you were to go to the woods and your bow was completely unstrung, it would not do you a whole lot of good. There's tension that's on the bow. That's what propels the arrow forward. Without a tension on the bow, you've got a stick and a string, right? That's what you've got. The word to lose heart or to give up, that's it, to unstring a bow. You remove the tension and you make it useless for that purpose. You will reap a harvest in due season, in due time, at the right moment, if you don't unstring your bow. Difficulties, hard times, whether they are a reality now or whether they seem like a coming reality. Sometimes we get frustrated. We look at the bar, it's too high. We look at our own energy. We look at our own efforts. And we unstring our bow. There's no use. I'm powerless. Yes, in ourselves we are. But we serve a limitless God. And God expands our limits. Where is it? Maybe you need to shift today. Where is it you need to shift from wanting to give up and sit on the sidelines and throw yourself face down in the hay and just give up? Where is it that God may be saying, wait on me? Where is it that God is saying in your life, in your situation, where is it that God is saying, I haven't forgotten you? Where is it that you say, I don't think God sees what's going on, that you need the reassurance from God's word today that God says, I see exactly where you are. Trust me in the midst of this. I know what I'm doing. Will you trust me? I know how difficult it is, but will you rely upon me to grant you the power that you need? Will you do that today? Will you just say, God, I realize I'm limited, but Lord God, you're limitless. And so I want to depend upon you, your power, your ability, your wisdom, your understanding, and not my own. Would you do that? There may be some of you here today or some of you listening that would say, well, I don't even have that hope in God because I've never made a decision to follow him. Well, we're limited in that respect too. We can do nothing to meet our deepest spiritual need, which is the need for salvation. We're powerless to do anything. We can't bridge that gap between us and God. No amount of good deeds, no amount of well-reasoned arguments, no amount of, if I just believe strongly enough in certain things other than God, if I'm just really, really sincere. No. It comes down to, do we trust that God, the limitless God, sent his Son in the image of sinful flesh? Not that God, not that Jesus was sinful, but that he came as our representative, and he died in our place on a cross, did what we could not do, which is pay for our sins for all eternity and everyone who would believe. And if we trust in him and cast our dependence upon him, then we will be saved. Maybe that's the decision that you need to make today. Whatever it is, don't leave without doing business with God. Some of you are so close to giving up on things. Some of you are so close to giving up on your marriage. Some of you are so close to giving up on that job search. Some of you are so close to just giving up on the doctors or whatever's going on with you physically. Some of you are just so close to giving up on that person. Maybe you're one that you've been sharing Christ with over and over again, and you're saying, I'm just ready to quit. This is worthless. This is pointless. Don't give up. Don't ever believe the lie that God has forgotten you, because he hasn't. Your limitless God sees you, sees me in our limited capacity, and the fact that we can't do everything he can do, and he expands our limits so that we can know he has no limits. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the fact that you never lose track of us. Not only do you not lose track of us, you know exactly where each one of us is. You know exactly every detail about every one of our lives. You know our thoughts before we think them. You know all the intents of our hearts. You know everything. You intimately know each one of us. And God, there are people here. There are people listening who are wrestling with endurance right now. They want to give up. They want to sit down on the sidelines, quit running the race, quit competing, quit fighting, quit doing battle, quit moving forward, and they just want to quit. Father, I pray that you would just breathe fresh strength into their lives. Father, I pray that you would help them to see from your word that you are who you say you are, that you are a limitless God. And in the midst of our limits, you know no such limits. So, Father, we depend upon you. We depend upon you to change us. We depend upon you to transform us. We depend upon you to save us because we can't do it ourselves. We depend upon what Christ did on the cross, not only to save us, but to give us a new identity in you, but to give us a new purpose in you. You don't exist, God, to help us meet our own purposes. You don't exist to make our lives better. We exist to serve you. We exist to worship you. We exist to rely completely upon you. We exist to meet whatever it is that you place as a calling upon our lives. We exist to fulfill your purpose. You don't exist for our purpose. We exist for your purpose. So God, I pray that there's anyone here today, anyone listening, who has not made a decision to follow you wholeheartedly, I pray today would be the day. And Father, I pray for anybody here who may be at the verge of giving up, and I pray that you'd let them know that if they wait on you, that you will give them the endurance they need. You'll give them the power they need to continue. You will give them strength for the next leg of the journey. You will give them exactly what they need for the next step. And one day, they'll soar like eagles, not by their own power, but held aloft by yours. Father, we give you thanks for your promises. We give you thanks for your truth. And we give you thanks for the great love with which you loved us through Christ your Son. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. In this time, we'll be here at the front. Some of us pastors, if you want to come pray with one of us, we'd love to. If you want to come to the altar and pray, if you have any decision that you need to make, if you want to know how you can know Christ today, or if you would like to join the church or be baptized, whatever the decision is, you respond as God leads in this time.